Yeah, it's Mr. Encore. Fantasy Sports and Politics crew. Yeah, check. Fantasy Sports and Politics. Ain't no other talk show.
Thursday night is the right time to kick back and listen to the FSP crew show as they break down the week.
The heck happened there? Let's start this all over again, people.
Yeah, it's Mr. Encore. Fantasy Sports and Politics crew. Yeah, check. Fantasy Sports and Politics. Ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's Fantasy Sports and Politics crew. Yeah, come on. Fantasy Sports and Politics crew. Yeah. Fantasy Sports and Politics crew. Fantasy Sports and Politics crew. Yeah, lock on. Peace.
Right. It's that time, people. It's getting closer. It is getting closer. I am JT, a.k.a. the Master. And I'm joined by my esteemed co-host, Jeff the Joker, and we make up the FSP Crew Show. The number to call in is 347-637-3220. You know I repeat this, so I'm going to say it again. 347-637-3220 is the place to be if you want to talk to or me. Got a great show in store for you today, tonight, whatever you want to call it. Going to be talking about another one bites the dust. That's all I got to say. We're going to be talking about NFL because other things are happening too that impact the NFL and each one of these 32 teams. So without further ado, let me put this out there. We also have a chat room. If you want to lay your knowledge or ask a question in the chat room, you can also do that. What you put in is what you're going to get out of that chat room. So it is what it is. So without further ado, with all the machinations that were going on earlier starting the show, let's bring in my esteemed co-host, my fellow Jersey guy. We call him Jeff, and we also call him the Joker. What's up, my man?
Hey, Jerry, what's going on?
Oh, boy, you sound awful reserved, man, but that's okay. That's just who you are, which is fine. No problem. The weeks have been winding down. This is the last full week before a week from today. In fact, a week exactly from today at 8 o'clock, the first game between the Pittsburgh Steelers and the New England Patriots are going to play. The first regular season game. And when that happens, fantasy football will be in full effect. Football season will be back to all who watch it, including Jeff and I, and probably a lot of you esteemed listeners also. But speaking of the New England Patriots, and Jeff, you knew we were going to talk about this, because this is some nice, good news for Robert Kraft and company. They're shining the knight in shining armor. It's still a knight in shining armor. Jeff, another one. I said another one bites the dust. I mean, another round of the NFL bites the dust and gets sand kicked in their face, meaning Roger Goodell and company. Deflategate ruling further annihilates Roger Goodell legacy and NFL image. I'm going to read this article that I got from the Bleacher Report, and it's by Jeff Freeman, who is an NFL national lead writer, which is today, and that was the lead title of it, Deflategate ruling further annihilates Roger Goodell's legacy and NFL's image. First, and this, he laid it out pretty well. First, the NFL picked the court. Yeah. The league thought, got him. Home court advantage. Second, the league put forth the notion that Tom Brady destroyed his cell phone. Yeah. The league thought, got him. Broke your phone, broke the rules. Then the league talked about the process. The process, the process, the process. Yeah, the league thought, our league, our CBA, our rules, got them. But something strange happened along the way to total victory. That favorable court, question mark, the judge began to intensely question the league and its motives. The destroyed cell phone, question mark, the judge obviously didn't think it was egregious. As the league and many in the media did, that process, question mark, it sucked, wasn't fair. To sum it up, fell were tyrants, and Brady was William Wallace fighting the Brits. Judge Richard Bierman wrote in part of the decision that Goodell dispensed his own brand of industrial justice. This is a magnificently stunning quote. It is the kind of quote in the ruling that turns the NFL's world upside down. Goodell has now lost in court to, check this out, people, Adrian Peterson, Ray Rice, and Tom Brady. And you might want to throw in Greg Hardy in there as well. Appeals officer Harold Henderson reduced Hardy's suspension from 10 to 4 games. None of this is a coincidence. This is a pattern. A pattern of losing, a pattern of the NFL getting its ass kicked because judge after judge, arbitrator after arbitrator thinks it's a bully, thinks it's unfair. An independent judge, Barbara Jones, in the Rice case said she believed Rice's testimony over the leagues. Judge David Doty destroyed the league in the Peterson case. So, Jeff, let me put it this way. Let me finish this. To be fair, Doty is to the union what Vulcans are to Starfleet. He constantly sides with the players, but now Jones and Bierman have blasted the league too. Berman in the venue that the league wanted. Brady beat the NFL the way the Patriots beat the Colts in that infamous game. The court found that Brady's awareness of the deflation of football was not a fair basis for punishing him. The court also found that it was unfair to hold Brady accountable to be generally aware of football deflation when there had been no previous notice. One of the more important rebukes of the league to me was how the judge body slammed the NFL's logic that ball deflation was the same as using steroids. On my record, as saying I think Brady was involved, I'm still convinced of that. As Eddie George said on the Dan Patrick show, after the ruling was announced, Tom is a great player, a great person, I get it. But through the years coming out of that organization, there have been various times that we pushed the envelope in terms of trying to win ball games, whether it's stealing signals, whether it's getting the playbook or something. If you did the crime, just take the punishment. But this clearly shows to me that they play a different set of rules and they're above the law to some degree. I text with Pat's players who simply said Tom was screwed by Goodell, and now Goodell has to live with getting his ass kicked in court yet again. Now, the union issued a statement, and one part of it rang true. This decision should prove once and for all that our bargaining agreement does not grant this commissioner the authority to be unfair, arbitrary, and misleading. While the CBA grants the person who occupies the position of commissioner the ability to judiciously and fairly exercise the designated power of that position, the union did not agree to attempts to unfairly, illegally exercise that power, contrary to what the NFL has repeatedly and wrongfully claimed. The court's decision is the kind of stinging rebuke that demolishes legacies, injuring them beyond repair. His legacy is being annihilated slowly, drip by drip, case by case. I'm not going to go on any further. Jeff, what are your thoughts?
You know, ahead of time, I got the impression, based on experts and just, I don't know, instinct, that the NFL was losing court again. And I can't stand Roger Goodell. I think he's a buffoon. And, you know, successful people, I mean, very successful people, you know, CEOs, presidents, governors, senators, you know, big-time people like that, have official and unofficial advisors. And where are Goodell's advisors? He doesn't listen to them or what? And a lot of these bad decisions that he's made, he had a chance to sleep on it. It wasn't like he had to do it on his feet, you know, which sometimes it's hard to think on your feet. I can't stand Goodell. I mean, like a lot of people, I like to champion the little guy. Brady isn't exactly a little guy. But, hey, he's got rights to due process just like everyone else. And one of the many things I don't like about Goodell, with him creating and taking on this role of the new sheriff in town, is, you know, it seems like he's making it up as he goes along, you know, and that's part of it. And, you know, lack of due process, lack of transparency, et cetera, et cetera. I can't like somebody like that. And and the court that where it took place was handpicked by the NFL, still lost. It's like, you know, when I was a kid, I must have saw every episode of the Brady Bunch at least twice. You know, it was a popular show back then. And there was that episode when Bobby was getting a complex because he couldn't win in anything. And he kept saying, he said, "I lost again." That's Goodell. And, you know, I don't understand how he still got a job, because, you know, he's made the league look so bad. And, you know, before this season, this is what people are talking about. They're not talking about, you know, the actual football. They're talking about the litigation. The Patriots, I think all the teams are playing tonight. They're playing at home against the Giants, who they usually play in the preseason. Usually teams don't like to travel far for the preseason games. And I didn't think it was going to happen, but there was talk that Brady was going to play the first series of the game. But this is the fourth game, so most of the stars and a lot of the starters aren't even going to see the field. So, you know, meanwhile, of course, you know, the owner's got to charge full price for these bad games. I mean, the only preseason game that usually resembles an NFL game is week three, which we just saw. So,
Well, to put the not put a cap on, but to also further to tell you, and you probably know this, that the NFL already filed an appeal. They're not going to be looking for a stay to prevent Tom Brady from playing, but they did file an appeal of the ruling. So whenever the appeal is heard, Tom Brady gets to play up until, I guess, a ruling, whether it's a negative or a positive toward him. Quite naturally, if it's negative, then Tom Brady and the union has to do what they have to do. If it's positive, then more than likely the NFL will go silently into the night. Let me put it that way. I would think they would. It seems like they don't want to give up this fight. They took it to, like I said in the article, they took it a step ahead of the union to make sure that they would be able to get into a spot where they thought would be more favorable to them in New York versus Minnesota and Judge Doty. And they got Judge Bierman, and Berman, I should say. I keep on calling Bierman. It's Berman. And thinking that they would, all the ducks would line up in a row and they would be able to get some satisfaction in their favor. And surprisingly, and I was surprised because I thought this was probably one that they were going to lose. But apparently, the judge said no. We're not gonna go for it. You kind of overstepped your bounds, and I'm going to rein in you a little bit, Mr. Goodell and company, and rule in favor of the player. So we'll have to wait and see what happens, and how long it's going to take. It's probably going to drag out for quite a while now. I don't think it's a rush to get the appeal heard. Tom Brady more than likely is. Even if it got overturned, Tom Brady still probably wouldn't even have to sweat about not playing this year and missing any games. So, all that hype about Jimmy Garoppolo playing, what's going to happen? The Patriots panicking and making sure that Garoppolo gets as many reps, and Tom Brady has to take a back seat because the situation may not be in his favor. All for naught. I saw a picture today with Tom Brady sitting on the bench, looking up at Garoppolo, laughing and saying, "You thought you were going to play," something like that. So that was the caption. So all those people who drafted Tom Brady in their drafts in fantasy, have a sigh of relief now that Tom Brady is going to be playing from the first game, like I said, a week from today at 8 o'clock. And more than likely, they'll unveil their Super Bowl banner, their fourth Super Bowl banner, in Foxborough when the Pittsburgh Steelers visit. And it is what it is. All right, for those who don't know, the teams, all the NFL teams, all 32 teams had to get their roster from 90 down to 75 on Monday. All the NFL teams today, tonight, are playing. Every last one of them are playing. Your favorite team, whoever it is playing. They're all playing. But they're not, more likely, they're not playing the starters. And if the starters are playing, they play one snap, maybe a series, and they get the hell out of there and watch guys who are fighting for their positions or fighting for a position on a team, because cuts are going to be made come Saturday. And those teams, all 32 teams, have to get down to 53. They have to get down to 53. So you're going to have guys putting it all out there like it's their last day on earth, and they have one shot to save themselves. And that one shot is to go balls to the wall tonight, regardless of what you do, I mean, what position you're in, how many snaps you get. You got to hope you get a lot of snaps, so you get seen quite a bit, so you have an opportunity to make a case on the field that you should be one of the 53 of the 32 teams that are going to be playing their first game after Thursday in the Patriots and the Pittsburgh Steelers. So, Jeff, I'm going to ask you about your team because you're JPP. I think from what I just saw something, said he's not going to come back until next week. That's like a few days before the regular season starts. Quite naturally, I don't think he's going to be playing in the first game, or if he does, it's very limited. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, the reason being, he didn't, well, from what I've heard, he didn't want to show up until he'd be able to pass the physical, because I guess that's an issue because of the problem with his hand, you know, missing a finger now and with the other one fractured. So that's what he was waiting for, because if he showed up and he couldn't pass the physical, then they could put him on the non-football injury list, and then they wouldn't have to pay him anything. So that's why, you know, he hasn't shown up yet. I mean, the thing is, maybe this year, because of the injury and the lack of training camp, they might use him, I think, in a more specialized role. I mean, he's known for his pass rushing, but maybe they'll – not playing as much against the run, so we could focus on, you know, rushing the passer, and that's very important. And usually the Giants have pretty good depth at that, but not so much anymore. But, you know, Strahan's last year, he missed all the training camp and was practically invisible the first game, but then had a good season and went out on top. So, you know, JPP is an excellent athlete, so yeah, maybe he could overcome, you know, with the loss of strength in the one hand and missing out on the camp. Because, yeah, he was raw when he first came into the league. But, you know, he knows what he's doing now. So, but, yeah, I'd like to have him back. They really need the pass rush.
Go down this route here. I just saw this. It just showed up in RotoWorld that Greg Hardy, as despicable as what he was accused of, and because he paid his victim off, and she refused to appear or make herself available for a testimony or appearance in court. So it was basically dismissed. And he had a 10-game suspension, and that was reduced, like I told you, Harold Henderson reduced it to 4 games. Now, Greg Hardy is considering an appeal of his 4-game suspension in the wake of Tom Brady's appeal win. So if Hardy can earn a stay, the Cowboys bench event will be in a position of strength entering the season. My question to you, Jeff, is, you know, you had 10 games. You look, and you set out all last year, I think, except for one, because of what took place. And then on top of that, he gave you 10 games. Harold Henderson reduced it to 4. Would you, and I'm not a player, and I can't say it can backfire because he's already had 4 games, so it can't get any worse than that. Would you appeal that 4-game suspension to see if you can get it reduced completely or thrown out? What's your thoughts,
you know,
on that? Or would you just take your punishment and move on?
I hate what Greg Hardy did. No doubt about it. But I don't like the fact that the NFL, which is basically an employer, I guess it represents 32 different employers, think that they could create their own court. You know what I'm saying? I mean,
sure.
Hardy manipulated the legal system. Unfortunately, it happens. It stinks, but it can happen. The legal system, it's not perfect. I don't think it's perfect anywhere, but it's the legal system. It's a system. It usually works. I'll take what the legal system says over the NFL, because the NFL, they got no rules. They got no laws. It's just you know, this buffoon who thinks he could do whatever he wants. You know what I'm saying? I mean,
sure.
It's like if I got in a little trouble, let's say, you know, I don't think anything too bad. I don't know, maybe accidental trespassing or a motor vehicle thing or something or whatever, fight or something. But let's say if I got into a misdemeanor thing, it had nothing to do with work, and let's say, you know, I had to go through the court system and they, you know, decided whatever, I would not want my employer saying, oh, well, now we're going to punish you too. And we're not going to have any due process or anything. We're just going to do whatever we feel like. I don't like that. I don't think an employer has the right to divorce themselves from the legal process. And that's basically what Goodell wants to do. And I think it's because he's pandering to idiots. I mean, the NFL, it's a lot of players. What, about 1,600 players? They're young men in their 20s and 30s. You're going to have a couple bad apples. That doesn't mean you need a dictator to put on a show to appease a bunch of morons, a bunch of simpletons. But that's what he wanted to do, and look what it got him. Now he's a punchline.
Speaking of punchlines, he may be punching his ticket out of the his office. The reason I'm saying this is because that Bleacher Report's Jason Cole reported several owners did not want the NFL to appeal the Deflategate decision. Cole reports several owners want to see the saga end once and for all. Goodell almost had to appeal the decision, which blasted the league's handling of the Deflategate situation, but it is yet another decision which could strain his relationship with the owners. Cole reports the NFLPA and the owners agree the NFL needs to overhaul the disciplinary process. So the NFL owners, not all of them, but there's some rumbling out there that these NFL owners had enough of this and just let it go. You took the process, you put it, like, and I keep on reiterating, that the NFL did everything it could possibly do to gain an advantage over the Tom Brady and the NFLPA in this decision, and it didn't work out. You know what? You took your best shot, and it didn't work. Let it go. And like you said, Jeff, I think it's about an ego thing now. And I think this is just another poor decision that the NFL decided, and Roger Goodell, because he's the head man, decided to appeal this. He could easily have said, you know what, we took our best shot. I took you guys' advice, and we took all the necessary steps to put the ball in our court and to win this thing over once and for all and get one up on the NFLPA, but it didn't happen. Let it go. Nope, he didn't say that. He took the advice of his legal team or whatever to appeal it, or he said all on his own, let's appeal it. But I got to think he has the final decision whether to let this go or push on with another appeal. And in my opinion, just like you're saying, it's another poor decision for a guy who's getting an average salary of $44 million. You don't expect somebody who's making that type of money to be making the type of decisions that he's been making over the last year or so. So I don't know how tenuous his job is, but if it was me and if I was one of the owners and I had a guy making that amount of money, making all the mistakes and the guys in his office that he's in charge of making all these mistakes and looking like and having all kinds of pie in my face, meeting owners and the NFL office, I'd be looking elsewhere for a replacement or replacements of his underlings. And I think that's going to happen. Somebody heads going to roll or heads are going to roll in this, because the fact is this is too many times that the NFL has had dirt, sand, mud, whatever you want to talk about, kicked in their face, and they can't do anything about it but take it. Your thoughts?
Oh, wow. Yeah. You know, I'm so tired of this guy. I don't get it, you know, because I'm telling you, most of these owners, they'd fire a secretary if she sharpened the pencil the wrong way. You know what I'm saying? And they keep this clown around, and I can't stand the guy for legitimate reasons, and I'm sure I'm not the only one, and I'll tell you. I don't think he had a great image, but looking back, his predecessor, Paul Tagliabue, very intelligent, never looked like a fool. It's funny because Goodell doesn't like him. I guess he's probably jealous. They need someone like him, you know, someone who's well-educated, of course, and very, very intelligent. That's who they need.
Yeah, you're right. And I think the owners wanted somebody to come in that would be a enforcer. They were looking for someone to come in to wield the power of the league and the owners versus what Tagliabue. Tagliabue was more of a wasn't as hardline as Goodell portrays himself to be. But just like a lot of leadership, you have to have some type of balancing act. You just can't go balls to the wall and think that whatever you say is going to go all the time and then not have any repercussions. Well, over this last year or so, they've gotten slapped in the face over and over again by multiple judges, and with not too kind of words about their whole process. I don't know if Goodell and his underlings are capable of bringing about something that would be equitable and fair between the league and the players versus trying to weaken the Players Association to the fact that the owners and Goodell can do as they please, which that's not going to happen, even though they wish it would happen. That's one reason why Goodell's there. And now they have to take several steps back and regroup. And I would be surprised that after this season, Roger Goodell steps down in one form or fashion because too many gaps, and they're paying him too much money. Even though they're making a lot of money, the revenue has been kicked up substantially with Goodell in office. But the image that the NFL is portraying and with Goodell in charge can hurt the bottom line. We'll have to wait and see to see what happens. But we're going to go to a couple of a break, about a couple-minute break, and then we'll be back and talk more NFL. All right, we'll be back.
Victor Gardner began the Fantasy Sports and Politics brand with the idea of combining two of his passions into a radio show. He then learned that politics were 95% of sports. When you tune into the Fantasy Sports and Politics show every Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern, Mr. FSP himself, Vic Gardner, and Jerry the Master Taylor will go over the weekend sports, prep you for your upcoming fantasy games, and spark a debate politicians would love to hear. That's the FSP show every Saturday at 1 p.m. on blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. You can listen at spotonradio.web.com after the show as it streams 24/7, 365 for other informative programs as well. Information, motivation, variety. Looking for fantasy sports advice? How about informative conversation? Look no further, as the Master Plan features two men that can help in both areas. Jerry the Master Taylor and Lance the NFL exporter Goodman provide you with a fantasy fix live every Sunday morning on the Master Plan at blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. You can listen at spotonradio.webs.com after the show as it streams 24/7, 365, and listen to other informative programs as well. That's the Master Plan, Sundays 10 a.m. Eastern on blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK and streaming at spotonradio.webs.com. Information, motivation, variety, the Master Plan.
All right, we are back. I am JT, a.k.a. The Master, and I'm joined by my esteemed co-host, Jeff the Joker, two Jersey guys laying it down. We make up the FSP Crew Show. The number to call in is 347-637-3220, 347-637-3220. If you'd like to talk to us about any subject, sports, fantasy, that's what I'm about to talk about now, or anything else that may be on your mind. All right, people. Jeff and I are in two leagues. Am I right about that, Jeff, or three?
Yes, sir.
At least two. Two leagues, right? Two years. One in Yahoo and one in ESPN. We just had our Yahoo draft this past Sunday, the 30th, and we already completed the trade, Jeff and I. After the draft was over, Jeff had an epiphany decided to offer me an individual, two high-profile players. Let me put it that way, two high-profile players. And I had to think long and hard if I wanted to give up the individual that he asked for versus getting the individual that he had offered. The trade in question was this. Jeff wanted to had Andrew Luck as a quarterback and offered me Andrew Luck for Le'Veon Bell. Now, thinking of my quarterback situation versus my running back situation, I because of the running back that I had on my roster, including Le'Veon Bell, I thought I could give up that running back and not substantially hurt myself in the running back position, but gain quite a bit in the quarterback position, especially with the number two rated and with some ranks, the number one rated quarterback in fantasy. To me, I had to think about it because I really like running backs, and I really like Le'Veon Bell a lot. I touted him enormously last year, and he had a monster year last year, and I kept him as a keeper in this league, hoping to use him in the this upcoming fantasy season. But the offer that Jeff put out there, just like Vito Corleone, was an offer I couldn't refuse. So I decided to pass it on to Jeff, Le'Veon Bell, and in turn, I was able to get Andrew Luck. Jeff, before I bring in Mike, what are your thoughts about your thoughts on offering me?
Just to add to that, the reason I made the trade was I also had Matt Ryan. If I didn't have another good quarterback, I probably wouldn't have traded Luck. And I had a need at running back. I had Melvin Gordon and Carlos Hyde, who I think are both, you know, RB2, hopefully maybe RB3, but I really wanted one legit RB1. And since I had the surplus at quarterback, I figured I would trade Luck or Ryan. But if I wanted a real top-tier running back, I knew I'd have to trade Luck as much as I didn't want to, but that's the way it works. You know, you have to give quality to get quality. And I wouldn't do it just for the sake of doing it, but I did have a need. And I looked at the rosters of the other teams, and I looked at other teams that might want a quarterback and, you know, would have some talent at running back available. And, you know, so I made offers to a few teams, and I'm glad I wanted to be systematic because I offered Luck to a few teams, and I figured, let me wait till I get replies from all those teams before I start offering Matt Ryan, because If I'm offering both at the same time and both get agreed to, then I'll have no quarterbacks, and that'd be messed up. So I'm glad too long, and I think it's one of the benefits of having almost an extra week between the drafts and the start of the season. It kind of worked out very well. So it gives you time, you know, to make a trade, do waivers, set your lineup, gives you plenty of time, because sometimes you only have a few days between the draft and when the season starts. But now, I don't know if you noticed, in the other league, the ESPN league, one of the gentlemen in that league drafted the first three rounds, and I don't know why his draft got a good rating. His first three rounds, I think he must have messed up the auto programming. First three picks, Aaron Rodgers, Peyton Manning, Drew Brees. All three are excellent quarterbacks, but you can only start one at a time. And that team being Team Young, of course, you know, I really like my team in that league. It's I think I have a very, very good, solid lineup. But, you know, I'm willing to upgrade a little at quarterback, you know, based on who I have. And, you know, I made him a couple offers, and it's very hard to trade in that league because of the roster maximums. You can only carry five running backs and six wide receivers, but I've been willing to offer him some talent at wide receiver for a quarterback. He declined, but, you know, sometimes, you know, if you want to make a deal, you know, you got to communicate. I think that helps with the trade. You know, just like real simple. This is what I'm looking for. This is what I'm willing. And then it's like, yes, no thanks. Also, I think people should use the trading blocks, because that's a good way to make a trade happen. And there's some people, for whatever reason, won't trade no matter what. Like, they'd rather lose than trade. I don't understand that. I mean, usually, if my team is good, everything's going right, I'm not necessarily looking to trade. I mean, I'll consider it, but I'm not really looking. But if I have a need, probably more likely going to look for it. But, I mean, I've seen people who just, they won't trade. They'll just rather lose week after week. I don't get that. And I don't understand how a guy could draft quarterbacks in the first three rounds and still get a good draft rating. And all I got's a B. Also, see, I'm the kind of owner, I'm not, like, you ever know somebody's, I hate the term owner, it sounds ridiculous, GM, I'm a kind of fantasy GM, I usually mind my own business, because once in a while, you get these bozos, and they're too busy managing everybody else's team except their own, you know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah.
Right.
And, oh, Black, yeah, sorry, I'm hogging the mic,
You're good. I came on and you guys were talking about a blockbuster trade. I was sitting listening.
Yeah, well, yeah, we pulled it off, you know. I'm glad it worked for both of us. But so, you know, I didn't notice during the draft, because, you know, my thing is, when I'm drafting, once in a while, you know, you hear people talk about drafting saying, oh, well, if this guy needs this and this guy needs this, you get that. And I'm like, I can't predict what other people are going to do, even if it's something that looks obvious. During a draft, I'm just focused on who I got, who's still on the board, and who I need. And I'm totally focused on that. So I didn't notice at the time that guy took quarterbacks in the first three rounds.
His roster right now, you got Peyton Manning, Drew Brees, and Aaron Rodgers.
Team Young.
Unbelievable. I've never seen that before.
But he's got a good rating.
Well, you know what happens is,
What
happens is in ESPN, and I notice this a lot, it depends on the quarterback that you draft. He drafted three of the top quarterbacks, so I'm not surprised that he got a top rating. I don't know exactly what it was, I gotta believe he got a pretty high rating for it. Let me see if I can find out what he got here.
I'm looking at the roster. The rest of the roster is kind of trashy.
Goodness in my heart, I've been trying to offer him a wide receiver for one of his quarterbacks, and he's not interested. It's like, all right, well, whatever. I like my team a lot, you know. But, I mean, he should be, you know, like I said, I mind my own business, but if I had Team Young, I'd be trying to wheel and deal, you know.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, make it happen. Do something. Because and his wide receivers are real bad.
Yeah.
At least you figure with those three quarterbacks, to keep one, he could get decent players for the other two. And, you know, I made a couple offers, just rejected, doesn't want to communicate, whatever. It's his loss, you know. But, man, if I had that roster, I'd be making the effort to deal, whatever. I'll tell you, when I was – I think it was – I'm looking at the draft. When it was the seventh round, I was ready – I was ready to get a quarterback. But because he took those three guys, he kind of made a run on quarterbacks. And about that pick, it was around pick 74 – there was no Roethlisberger. There was no Matt Ryan. There was no Cam Newton. And, you know, those guys are rated, I guess, late 60s into the 90s. And then, boom, I wasn't going to draft somebody rated in the hundreds and pick 71. So I just – well, it was 74. And then I just was like, you know what? Macklin's still on the board. He shouldn't be. I'm taking him, and I'll just wait one more round for the quarterback. I got Eli, who's a good starter for a 12-team league, and a lot of people project him to have a good season. I'm happy with Eli. I mean, you know, if I could, I'd upgrade a little at quarterback, but I'm not desperate. So I think I have a very good lineup and decent depth on that roster.
Mike, I want to introduce you to the show and welcome to the show and ask you this. They had an annual dinner or brunch, whatever it was, that the Cowboys have every year. Orlando Scandrick got emotional because, quite naturally, he tore the Achilles and he'll be out for the rest of the season. But he got an award. I don't remember what award he got, but when he got up there to make a acceptance speech for it, he got emotional because of the fact is his health, his state of his health. But the other question I got was, I mean, not the question, but the other thing I wanted to say was your boy, number the old 88, not the new 88, your boy, Mr. Irvin, the Mr. Hall of Fame, Michael Irvin, pretty much was emphatic that the present day Cowboys need to step up and win this thing. More or less, he said, you got to win this thing. All the stars are supposedly aligned, and you're supposed to win this thing this year, putting a lot of pressure on your team. What's your thoughts? I know you heard about it.
He's not really putting pressure on. I saw him in this mathematical breakdown, but other teams can do that too. Who won the Super Bowl 4 years ago?
Oh, 2011? 2000 and who won it in 2011?
We have the fan on the phone with us.
Oh,
yeah, the only thing that gets confused is it for the year or for the season?
What's that?
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So I think it was the 2011 season, and then the Giants won the Super Bowl in 2012, I think it was. I can't believe I'm getting old because I used to know that stuff like you wouldn't believe.
Who won it 4 years before that?
Well,
that's
it was deja vu all over again.
Yeah, exactly. So that number thing, I mean, you can look at it one way, you can look at it another. I'm just hyped. Michael Irvin is hyped. But they got to do it on the field, man. That's all I'm believing in.
Okay. Well, I mean, it's very interesting. Well, I would say very interesting, but everybody thinks that the your team has a strong shot to take it to the next level and get into the actual Super Bowl. I know you're an avid Cowboy fan.
Everybody wants number 50, man. The golden 50.
Yeah, that's true. I know you're an avid Cowboy fan, but I want you to give me a real, reality-based answer, not a fan-based answer, on your thoughts on your realistic shot of your Cowboys getting to Super Bowl 50.
Right now, it all depends on secondary play. And a couple of our guys have already went down. So hopefully that front seven can generate a whole bunch of pressure. I'm anticipating that. I'm counting on it. But as far as record-wise, I see us either going 10-6, maybe 11-5. That line, somebody has to emerge. I don't know if it's McFadden. I'm hoping it's Randall because I drafted Randall. I'm hoping he gets the start. If not, I'm going to regret that pick. But one of those two guys have to make the move for us to keep that run going, keep the play action going. We got great receivers. Terrence Williams is stepping up big time now. I think it's going to be a breakout year for Gavin Escobar. I know Whitten. It's going to be down the snaps a little bit, but we got to get some production out of Gavin Escobar and that two tight end set. I think we're good. This is the first time Tony's been fully healthy in the offseason, so I think we're going into it with a big chip on our shoulder, but I think 10, 11 wins is feasible.
Okay. Jeff, what is your realistic thoughts on your team? Now, I'm probably going to talk to you guys again about this come next Thursday because that's when really the NFL season kicks off. But I'm asking you tonight, what's your realistic thoughts on what your team, what you think your team can
do? Giants have still have some questions on the offensive line. Flowers, the rookie, I think people We're unsure of him, but he's looked pretty decent. But some of the other spots, and then, you know, if somebody gets injured, they don't have good depth. Victor Cruz looked okay for a while, but he hasn't been practicing. You know, I know he was great for 12 games, but I just – something about Beckham Jr., and he hasn't looked good in the preseason. Hope we didn't get a bigger head in the off season. He just talks way too much, and I know a lot of these guys talk, but you know, if you're going to get penalties and whatnot, then don't do it. You know what I'm saying? It's just that's what I don't like about it. If he could keep his head and whatever, I'd be fine with it. But a great talent and. Got some questions with the pass rush, thanks to JPP. They've been having a lot of problems with safety, and that's important to the defense, of course. I'm glad Spagnuolo is back as a defensive coordinator. But if they don't win this season, this might be the last year for Coughlin and maybe Jerry Reese. But the thing is, and the Giants, the last two Super wins prove this. You don't got to go out there and, you know, have a 14-2 season and win the Super Bowl. You could be 10-6, get hot late in the season, kick butt in the playoffs, and boom. Easier said than done, but you don't have to be dominating. You just got to get hot late.
Okay.
Did I come on too late for the Redskins GM scandal? Or did you guys already cover that?
Mike, I didn't even think about that, but since you're down in the DMV area, and I only got I didn't even get the full story. I think I caught the tail end of it, and I really didn't delve into it to see what happened. Since I have you on here and you're down in that area, why don't you lay out the whole thing for us?
Oh, well, it's supposedly. The new GM, McLaughlin, I don't know how you say it, man. McLuhan,
right.
The new Redskins GM, his wife actually sent out a disparaging tweet to one of the local reporters here, who's no longer a local reporter. She works for ESPN now, Diana Rossini. And everybody was wondering, well, how did she get all these exclusives and all these Redskins exclusives and breaking stories? And there was a play by McLuhan's wife that she was giving blowjobs to get all these stories.
Who was?
Something she tweeted out. She said that Diana Rossini, the ESPN reporter,
right,
was giving blowjobs to get all her stories.
Get out of here. This is a tweet that she sent to her.
Along with some other disparaging words. It's a crazy story. I mean, Google it when you get a chance and you get off the air. The Redskins had to come out and issue a statement. The wife had to also come out and issue a statement, retracting everything that she said, and she apologized. It's just a crazy story, but it seems like the Ringling Brothers, Bonham and Bailey Circus, is right here in Washington, my friend. This has been a strange offseason for the Redskins.
Well, speaking of that, now, I know you guys have been paying attention to what's been going on with the Redskins and all the craziness about Robert Griffin III and all the things that have been said are being said, and now he's the debacle of he had a concussion. And it was cleared. Now he wasn't cleared. Now he's got to wait until he passes. And then being demoted to the backup quarterback and Kirk Cousins being named the number one. Jeff, give me your thoughts.
Wow. You know, I would have liked to have seen Griffith be a little more successful because he was a guy who looked very promising his rookie year. And you like to see exciting players, and that's what the league needs, unfortunately, because of the injury, and he hasn't developed. So, you know, it's a results business. And, you know the guy who they trade up for making the big bucks is going to get every opportunity to be the starting quarterback. But, unfortunately, he didn't impress. I don't think he's a bad guy. Maybe he's a little immature. He's got a little bit of an ego, but, hey, nobody's perfect. You know what I'm saying? I don't think he's a bad guy, but I don't know him personally. And, you know, I'll tell you, Cousins, a lot of people liked him coming out of college. He hasn't looked so hot. But, I mean, it's hard to believe that they're going to pay RG3 $16 million or whatever to hold the clipboard. And, you know, if that's the case, they're going to have the camera on them the whole game. There's a chance I heard they might cut them because if they don't, then they're going to be obligated to pay them for next year or something like that. I'm not sure exactly. So it gets kind of complicated. But, you know, for what they gave up to trade up to get them and all that money, I mean, what a disaster. It just goes to show you how important that position is. And if you invest a lot and it doesn't work out, it really sets back the franchise.
Your thoughts, Black?
Hey, at this point, I don't know what the Redskins are going to do. I know RG had to come out yesterday and talk about a tweet somebody had put out and that he liked it. And he had to retract that, saying it was one of his interns. Every day is just a new story with the Skins. It's hard to follow because there's so much tomfoolery going on with them. But I can't see them just paying Robert Griffin to just hold the clipboard. I think he'll be a cut casualty, or he's going to find his way back going to the field somehow or some way. But I can't see paying the guy that much money and him just sitting. I can't see it.
Okay. Well, we come to the end of the show. I want to thank you guys for joining me tonight. People, NFL season next week, a week from today, is going to start. I reiterated again that the New England Patriots and Tom Brady are going to be playing the Pittsburgh Steelers in Foxborough and probably unveiling their Super Bowl 49 banner to kick off the NFL season. And Mr. Goodell usually is at that game, is not going to be at this game. That's always been established that he's not going to be at the game. And there is no word on what game he's going to be at. I would think he'll probably be at some low-key game. I would be at a
low-key game. Can you imagine Roger Goodell at that game? Yes. And 40,000, 50,000 fans holding up many. That would be a nightmare for Roger Goodell. I'm glad he turned up.
Yes. So, well, that's going to be another thing that's going to have drama. Anytime he's going to show up at a game, I can guarantee it, anytime he's going to show up at a game, he's going to catch hell. So,
he's better than that pop his head in Dallas. If he does, Bray Hardy better be on that suspension list. That's all I'm going to say.
Anyway, that's going to be another ongoing saga of where Roger Goodell is going to show his face to kick off the NFL season with the commissioner in attendance. With that being said, people, thanks for listening. Black and Micah and Jeff, thanks for another great show and co-hosting with me. And we'll be catching the rest of you next week, 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, as always, as the NFL season kicks off and the FSP Crew Show will be here to talk about it. See ya.
Yeah. It's Mr. Encore. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah. Check. Fantasy Sports and Politics. Ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, come on. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, log on.